This day is a day when we celebrate a mystery, an event in which God's plan is revealed. It's a mysterion. And you can see, and we're only doing the bare bones liturgy, you know, we should have a meeting and all have candles and light the candles and come in carrying light, like Mary and Joseph did, carry light into the church, singing. But you see, we're getting so busy, we don't have time to do that. But we have the heart of it anyway. We have the readings, the songs, and then the Eucharist. But this is to open up our minds. Now what does that mean, to open up our minds? It means to let the light into the depth of our spirit. This is an event. And this event reveals God and part of God's plan. Now how do we penetrate that? Well, the church gives us all these means. Huh? The songs. The readings. We have the first reading, from Malachi. And you see how sensitive spirits, see, there it is. Behold, you see, he will come to his temple. Didn't just read that, remember? We just heard that. I know it's early in the morning, but, you know, we just read that. I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and suddenly they will come to the temple, the Lord whom you seek. And there he is, in the arms of his mother. That's the Lord. And this ends, then, the whole reason for the temple. It's over now, because there has been the presentation of the very Son of God to his Father. There can be nothing greater for the temple. And Jesus will cleanse it some years from now as a sign that this is over. He does it on the Feast of Passover. Fulfilled, not destroyed. And then he's going to be a purifier. And then we have this text from Hebrews. We have this beautiful psalm. You remember? You know, when you get your prayer time today, take up the Missal or Magnificat and beg the Lord to open your heart and mind so that the reality of this event touches your spirit. Jesus, right at this moment, glorious in heaven, filling the universe, adored and worshipped by all the saints and angels in awe and glory, he is fixed forever in the act in by which his mother and father presented him to God on this day. And so that he's different from all eternity, for all eternity, because of that. And when we approach him, that grace flows out from him. That's why we celebrate these mysteries. So that the reality of that event, which exists in heaven, in the humanity of Christ forever. When the gospel writers write, they're not just telling us this happened back there, now isn't that interesting. They're not only looking there, they're looking there at heaven. And they see this event totally fulfilled now in the transformed, risen, glorious humanity of Christ. And that's what they're telling us about. And why are they doing that? To bring us in touch with the glorious humanity of Jesus and understand and be transformed. Until this reality enters our spirit and we experience it, we haven't celebrated the feast. Oh, we got to church. Thank God. One thing anyway. But the feast is a living transformation of this act in you. That's why he tells us here in the letter to the Hebrews. Children share in blood and flesh. Jesus likewise shared in them. God came and was born of a woman. Why? The same notion as the one we're going to hear in the gospel. That through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, And why does this power of death, what does it come down to? And free those who through fear of death have been subject to slavery all their life. The one thing we cannot stand is diminution of any kind. A little bit less ego, a little bit less money, a little bit less, and we're scared to death, literally to death. And the martyr is at the other end. I don't care if you take my life. I know the truth. I know who Jesus is. I'm not afraid to die. But because we are afraid to die, this is what runs modern business. Everybody afraid to get fired. Everybody afraid to, and you know, oh, we're all friends in this corporation. Yeah, just cross the boss. Everybody frightened. But then I won't have any money. Then I won't have all the things I want. Then I won't. That's all anticipation of death. And the devil holds the world under his thumb because we're afraid of death. Whether it be the real end of the life death or all the little ones that happen in between. Guy cuts you off in traffic and you go ape. You have been insulted. You have been diminished. And in the back of it, you're afraid of death. And Jesus came to free us from that. And now listen, so we don't have a lot of time. Do you know how many times it says in this text, they obeyed the law of the Lord? They obeyed the Torah? How many times did you hear it? Obedience, humble. The Mother of God comes for her purification. It's the law. 40 days after giving birth, a woman can't go near the temple until after 40 days. Then she can come because of all the loss of blood and all the rest. And, you know, it's kind of semi, but to be purified. If it's a girl, 80 days. So she comes to be for Mary, comes to be purified. Think of it. The humility, the simplicity, the commitment to the will of the Father. They came according to the law of Moses to present him to the Lord, just as it is written, he had already been circumcised on the seventh, the eighth day, and this is now the 33rd day or the 40th day, really. Just as it is written in the law of the Lord. And then the law of the Lord is quoted twice there, and then in accordance with the dictate of the law of the Lord. You see? The only one who kept the Torah better than Mary was Jesus. He perfectly fulfilled the covenant. And now you start to get a sense of the glory. Oh, that we had the faith that Simeon has. We pick up Jesus here in the altar. He picked him up once and he sang. And we take him in our body. Thanks a lot, Jesus. What's for breakfast? You see what I mean? Faith. So he waited for the consolation of Israel, which is not just his consolation, it's the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. How much God loves the Jewish people. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death until he saw the Messiah of the Lord. So he came in the Spirit. It's a spiritual fellow, right? The Spirit's moving this man. And he sees him. All he has to do is see him. And he says, there he is. That's the one. Faith. Faith. And he picks him up and blesses him. And he has a prophecy. This child is set for the rise and the fall of many, and your own soul a sword will pierce. And all this, the rise and the fall and the piercing of the soul, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Because now, here's the issue. Is this man the Son of God? Did he die for the sins of the world? Is he alive and glorious? Think about it. And where are our thoughts resisting this? Otherwise, we'd all be saints. today is the day we can get a little more healed, a little more like good old Simeon, and get it. And then lovely Anna, another prophetess. See these prophets all around the Christ in the temple. What a glorious day. And all of this lives now because the one about whom they are speaking, the one Mary carried into the temple, you see, is alive. He's the incarnate Son of God alive. And this event lives to give us life. And the key is to be sensitive to light. How many times, and if we had had the procession, sing about light all the way through the procession. You see, this. So today, even though most people will say the new ones, the luminous mysteries, that's fine. Luminous, light, right? Or you could take one of those and meditate on this presentation. Lord, let the reality of what transpired in your humanity, vivified by the power of your blood and resting on me by the power of your spirit, please let it penetrate my heart, my mind, my body. Let me be as obedient as they were, and let me be as generous to give my whole self to you as you were in giving yourself to the Father. That's the grace today.